Hi, and welcome to Seeking the Gospel Truth. I'm Giselle Aguiar. We've been going through the Old Testament, seeing how Jesus and his gospel factors into every story. If you've missed any of them, search through the podcast or blog for the studies on the books of Genesis through Ruth. As we continue God's story, which is really our story, I am changing how we go through the bulk of the rest of the Old Testament. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, the historical books get a bit confusing as the timeline isn't straight. My goal is to do them in historical sequence. So we'll bounce around the Old Testament, but the stories will make better sense. Jesus is the hero of the entire Bible, and we'll find him everywhere as we go along. You'll also see how the Old Testament sets us up for the New Testament. And I've covered most of the New Testament, and you can find those studies along with podcast playlists on my blog. I pray that as you hear this message, it will inspire you to study the Bible daily for yourself. Seek the truth. I pray that God opens your heart and eyes and mind to understand what His Spirit is trying to tell you. And as you become rooted in the Word, you'll also be rooted in hope, joy, and peace. Let's dig in. Today, we're back in 2 Kings chapters 15 and 16, and we've got more bad kings and good kings in Israel and Judah. So let's recap. We just covered what three prophets had to say to the kingdoms of Assyria, Israel, as well as the other surrounding nations. They were God's spokespersons. Jonah, Hosea, and Amos were just the first three of a whole lineup of prophets that God sent to the people of Israel, the northern kingdom, then Judah, the southern kingdom. Basically, their message from God to them was, stop worshiping the useless pagan idols and gods, repent and come back to me. Simple, right? Yeah. All they had to do to be blessed instead of punished was to listen and obey the law. Follow the one true God and stop worshiping idols. And we'll soon see exactly what happened, what God's wrath looks like. Today, we'll go back to 2 Kings to meet some more good kings and bad kings and learn about the first of the Assyrian raids. Let's dig in. 2 Kings 15. Okay, we got a lot of funky names here, so bear with me. Uzziah rules in Judah. Uzziah, son of Amaziah, began to rule over Judah in the 27th year of the reign of King Jeroboam II of Israel. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jechaliah from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. But, he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. The Lord struck the king with leprosy, which lasted until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house. The king's son, Jotham, was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people of the land. The rest of the events in Uzziah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. When Uzziah died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. And his son, Jotham, became the next king. Now we jump up to Israel. Zechariah rules Israel. Now this is not the Zechariah who's the prophet. This is a different Zechariah. Zechariah, son of Jeroboam II, began to rule over Israel in the 38th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 6 months. Months, yes. Zechariah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, as his ancestors had done. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Then Shalom, son of Jabesh, conspired against Zechariah, assassinated him in public, and became the next king. The rest of the events in Zechariah's reign are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. So the Lord's message to Jehu came true. Your descendants will be kings of Israel down to the fourth generation. And I have a link to the blog to that chapter. Shalom rules in Israel. Shalom, son of Jabesh, began to rule over Israel in the 39th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. Shalom reigned in Samaria only 1 month. 1 month. Then Menachem, son of Gadai, went to Samaria from Tirzah and assassinated him, and he became the next king. The rest of the events in Shalom's reign, including his conspiracy, are recorded in the book of the histories of the kings of Israel. Menachem rules in Israel. At that time, Menachem destroyed the town of Tapua and all the surrounding countryside as far as Tirzah because its citizens refused to surrender the town. He killed the entire population and ripped open the pregnant women. Menachem, son of Gadai, began to rule over Israel in the 39th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 10 years, but Menachem did what was evil in the Lord's sight. During his entire reign, he refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, sons of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Then King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria invaded the land, but Menachem paid him 37 tons of silver to gain his support in tightening his grip on royal power. Menachem extorted the money from the rich of Israel, demanding that each of them pay 50 pieces of silver to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned from attacking Israel and did not stay in the land. Extorted the money from the rich. Some things never change. The rest of the events in Menachem's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Menachem died, his son Pekahiah became the next king. Pekahiah rules in Israel. Pekahiah, son of Menachem, began to rule over Israel in the 50th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 2 years. But Pekahiah did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Then Pekah, son of Remaliah, and the commander of Pekahiah's army conspired against him. With 50 men from Gilead, Pekah assassinated the king along with Argob and Ariah in the citadel of the palace at Samaria. And Pekah reigned in his place. The rest of the events in Pekahiah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. And it goes on. Pekah rules in Israel. Pekah, son of Remaliah, began to rule over Israel in the 52nd year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 20 years, but Pekah did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. During Pekah's reign, it's just so ironically funny, and it's sad at the same time. It's sick too. During Pekah's reign, King Tiglath Pileser of Assyria attacked Israel again, and he captured the towns of Ijon, Abel Beth Makkah, Genoa, Kedash, and Hazor. He also conquered the regions of Gilead, Galilee, and all of Naphtali. And he took the people to Assyria as captives. Then Hosea, son of Elah, conspired against Pekah. Hosea, this is not Hosea the prophet. This is Hosea with an S-H. Son of Elah conspired against Pekah and assassinated him. He began to rule over Israel in the 20th year of Jotham, son of Uzziah. The rest of the events in Pekah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. And we'll learn more about Hosea tomorrow. Jotham rules in Judah. Now we go back down to Judah. We're down in Judah now. Jotham, son of Uzziah, began to rule over Judah in the second year of King Pekah's reign in Israel. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Jotham did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, and he did everything his father Uzziah had done. But he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. He rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord. The rest of the events in Jotham's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. In those days, the Lord began to send King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah of Israel to attack Judah. It's a judgment. When Jotham died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David, and his son Ahaz became the next king. So now we go to 2 Kings 16. Ahaz rules in Judah. So we're down in the southern kingdom. Ahaz, son of Jotham, began to rule over Judah in the 17th year of King Pekah's reign in Israel. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. He did not do what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord his God, as his ancestor David had done. Instead, he followed the examples of the kings of Israel, even sacrificing his own son in the fire at the temple. In this way, he followed the detestable practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the pagan shrines and on the hills and under every green tree. Then King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah of Israel came up to attack Jerusalem. And it's not south because Jerusalem is on a hill. It's up on mountains. So you have to go up to Jerusalem. They besieged Ahaz but could not conquer him. At that time, the king of Edom recovered the town of Elath for Edom. He drove out the people of Judah and sent Edomites to live there as they do to this day. That's Jordan. Yeah. King Ahaz sent messengers to King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria with this message. I am your servant and your vassal. Come up and rescue me from the attacking armies of Aram and Israel. Then Ahaz took the silver and gold from the temple of the Lord and the palace treasury and sent it as payment to the Assyrian king. So the king of Assyria attacked the Aramean capital of Damascus and led its population away as captive, resettling them in Kerr. He also killed King Rezin. King Ahaz then went to Damascus to meet with King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria. While he was there, he took special note of the altar. Now, this is the pagan altar in Damascus, okay, which is in today is Syria. Then he sent a model of the altar to Uriah the priest at the temple in Jerusalem, along with its design in full detail. Uriah followed the king's instructions and built an altar just like it, and it was ready before the king returned from Damascus. When the king returned, he inspected the altar and made offerings on it. He presented a burnt offering and a grain offering and poured a liquid offering, and he sprinkled the blood of peace offerings on the altar. Then King Ahaz removed the old bronze altar from its place in front of the Lord's temple between the entrance and the new altar and placed it on the north side of the new altar. He told Uriah the priest, use the new altar for the morning sacrifices and burnt offering, the evening grain offering, the king's burnt offering and the grain offering and the burnt offerings of all the people, as well as their grain offerings and liquid offerings. Sprinkle the blood from all the burnt offerings and sacrifices on the new altar. The bronze altar will be for my personal use only. Uriah the priest did just as King Ahaz commanded. Then the king removed the side panels and basins from the portable water carts. He also removed the great bronze basin called the sea from the backs of the bronze oxen and placed it on the stone pavement. In deference to the king of Assyria, he also removed the canopy that had been constructed inside the palace for use on the Sabbath day, as well as the king's outer entrance to the temple of the Lord. The rest of the events in Ahaz's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. When Ahaz died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Hezekiah became the next king, and we will meet Hezekiah a few chapters down the line here. Well, there's a lot to think about here. But I want you, if you're totally confused with all these kings and who reigned during what reigns of the other ones and whatever, there's a chart at the bottom of the blog, so you can click over to the blog. The link is in the show notes. And there's other links to other studies on, you know, that were meant are mentioned here on my blog itself. So the sin of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, is mentioned 19 times throughout 1 and 2 Kings. He built these golden calves, one in Bethel and one in Dan, so that the people of the northern kingdom wouldn't go to Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah to worship like they were supposed to. These idols were supposed to be representations of God. However, they violated the second commandment about not creating any graven images. These idols ultimately became new gods. It was a compromise that became the next generation's idolatry. And that happens today. Where are you compromising that your kids may take it on and make it worse? I remember when I started smoking in college, my dad had a fit. He'd been smoking since he was 14 and couldn't kick the habit. He had a bunch of excuses for not quitting. He kept smoking until the day he died of a massive heart attack at 69. I stopped smoking because of my asthma, which prevented me from breathing. Which, by the way, I got from breathing in his secondhand smoke growing up. Breathing is a good thing. Smoking is not. Just like you become a slave to an addiction like smoking, alcohol, drugs, etc., you become a slave to religion. Back then, it was a pagan custom or tradition to build an altar or shrine on hills or high places, thinking they were getting closer to the gods. That stems all the way back to the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. They were supposed to only worship the one true God in the Temple of Jerusalem, the one that Solomon built. When we become born again, we become temples of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent to be with us, while he's in heaven preparing a place for his believers, for us. The kingdom of Judah was doing okay, not perfect, as even the good kings didn't stop the people from worshiping the other gods in the hills. Then came Ahaz, son of Jotham. He was horrible. So Hebrews were supposed to dedicate their firstborn son to God. Dedicate, not sacrifice. King Ahaz sacrificed his son to the false and non-existing gods. Sick, right? Well, so is abortion. That's sacrificing murder of a child for the pagan worship of career, selfishness, vanity, and pride. Ahaz enslaved his own people. Then he steals from the temple treasury to pay off Assyrians instead of trusting God to protect them from their enemies. Finally, he desecrated the temple that Solomon built to God's specification, creating an altar for his own use. What? Did he think he was also a priest? Kings were never to be priests. Only Jesus gets to be King Jesus and our high priest. When he pays off the king of Assyria, it was like partnering with a terrorist group to help get your people and military out of their country. What or whom are your idols? Whatever or whoever they are, they can't save you. Only Jesus can. If you're not sure if you're saved or not, if you truly want to be born again and have the assurance of salvation, receive the Holy Spirit and get a one-way, non-stop ticket to heaven after you die, or that you won't be left behind at the rapture, this is what you have to do. Believe, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. Believe, have faith that Jesus is the Christ, and he died taking your sins away forever, and that he rose from the dead 3 days later. Repent of your sins. Stop sinning. Do a complete 180-degree turn in your life and surrender your life to him. Be baptized. Show the world and yourself that you have died to your old life and are born again in Christ. Receive the Holy Spirit in your heart. So what are you waiting for? Invite Jesus into your heart and receive the gift and confident hope of eternal life. You don't know what to say, you don't know what to do, you can click on over my blog and click where it says how to invite Jesus into your heart. And at the bottom of my blog, I also embedded, it's one of the perfect worship songs, You Are God Alone, and that is the truth. And of course, I got the chart of the kings of Israel and Judah, because they are confusing. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I pray that the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, touched your heart to reveal the gospel truth that our hope of salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out to me via my website or social media. I encourage you to read the Bible daily and seek the truth for yourself. I recommend that you download 2 free Bible study apps, the YouVersion Bible app and Through the Word. Friends, we are living in strange, crazy times, the last days, the end times. But know that things aren't falling apart, they are falling into place. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20-22, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Jesus is knocking. It's up to you to open the door. Peter told us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed or perish, but wants everyone to repent. Jesus is coming back soon. Are you ready? Repent of your sins and invite Jesus into your heart right now. If you don't know what to say, there's a prayer in the show notes and on my blog. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory.